podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy and other smartphones are worth at Gazelle.com. And by Hulu Plus. Watch as many TV shows as you want, anytime, anywhere, on your devices, all streamed instantly to you. Visit HuluPlus.com/twit to start your free 2-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/twit, or go to twit.tv and click the Hulu Plus banner.
Hello! Ah, welcome to All About Android, episode 105, recorded on Tuesday, April 16th, 2013. We are still your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Gina Trapani.
Whoa, you've got some fuzz going on in your background. Noise. It was almost like you were
that?
Green screened or something.
Oh, there we go. That's smoother. That's better.
Wait a minute. Are you a Cylon? Are you a robot?
She has a plan.
Are you real? Do you have a plan?
I have a plan. I definitely have a plan.
Excellent. Well, actually, this is a show that's all about Android. So if you are indeed a robot, that brings a little bit more credibility to the show. Yeah, we appreciate it, Gina.
This is why I'm here, you know, as part of the interview process.
That's right.
Legitimacy. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Right. I got my Cylon toaster right over there.
Fantastic. That's all we ask. I mean, seriously. We've got a lot of cool stuff this week. It turns out we have a lot of apps that we're actually going to talk about on today's show. Lots of apps, a little glass, insight into a Google-influenced Motorola. I think that's kind of interesting, and so much more.
And that makes we went through a big hardware phase, yeah. I feel, as if, you know, with all the announcements and rollouts and things like that. So now it's time to get a little apps.
Yeah, it's time to relax. Load some new apps on your devices, uninstall them after 36 hours, you know, depending. Ron, I think you might have some insight into what I'm talking about there.
I might, yeah.
I can't wait to hear about that.
Took one for the team.
Yeah, you
That's
did.
That's what I did. I got social.
Well, before we can get to the fun apps, let's start off with some news.
So it's always good to hear from Eric Schmidt, the Google. He's still the chairman, right? Google chairman of the board or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he spoke recently to the crowd at Dive Into Mobile conference. And they touched upon very early in the talk. I feel like we need an Eric Schmidt talking.
Yeah, we kind of do. Yeah. He talks a lot, and he usually says some interesting things.
He does. Some of the highlights of this was that daily activations of Android phones have gone up from 1.3 million last fall to 1.5 million. Schmidt says that the numbers make reaching 1 billion total device activations by the end of the year a reasonable goal,
sure,
which follows the 750 million figure revealed recently by Larry Page, the Google CEO. Mm-hmm. And they basically said that the goal is to get Android into as many hands as possible, and that they see this being achievable as they inch ever closer to the $100 price point becoming the standard for phones, which, you know, really isn't that far off. I mean, we're seeing the prices go down more, mm-hmm, you know, with every kind of release. Google's doing a lot to that as they try to drive the prices down. I know I just bought the Nexus 4 for $299, so almost there. A little more to go. But then also when pressed, Schmidt kind of teased a little bit about the future of Google in a world of Google and Motorola being together.
In a world.
He's saying that we can expect the next generation of Motorola devices to be phones plus.
That's abstract.
Yeah, exactly.
Although kind of fitting to their branding messaging.
Yeah, true. Google Plus Phones Plus. There you go.
Google Plus.
And he described the new Moto handsets as being phenomenal. So very glowing, very giving a lot of optimism and a lot of promise, sure, for the future of Google in the phone space. Really do expect him to say anything otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. As he should, being the person that he is. So it would be kind of silly if he got up there and started slamming it.
He's like, listen, this Motorola stuff, I don't know what we were thinking. Like, he just totally starts shooting from the hip, and he's just like, listen, we spent a lot of money on this company.
I've had a little bit of the brown liquor, so I'm just going to level you here.
Well, they kind of did that with that 12 to 18 month pipeline.
True.
You know, it's good to hear something that you'd expect.
I just love the idea of just Eric Schmidt just you know, like, oh, is this on? And like, just,
oh.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing.
Wait a minute, I'm on a stage. How did I end up on a stage?
For some reason, he's got a very deep voice and gravelly voice. Like, he's very...
Meanwhile, in reality, he's not at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
But so we'll see. But 1.5 million activations per day, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of phones. It's that's
2 billion by the end of the year, you know, hopefully. Obviously,
yeah,
that's a very...
Wasn't it? Because Larry Page said 750 million, and now they're saying to get to 1 billion by the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2 billion is a lot. One billion sounds like a lot to me, too.
Exactly. Speaking of those Motorola devices, Motorola design chief Jim Wicks kind of unveiled a lot of kind of juicy nuggets about kind of the Motorola and Google relationship when it comes to devices. Spoke with PC Mag and shed some light on what we can actually expect out of Motorola's newly designed devices. He says, from a software and user interface perspective, our strategy is to embrace Android and to make it the best expression of Android and Google in the market. It will be the unadulterated version of Android, and I feel really good about our embracing Android and being the best Android experience.
See, now
that
is what you want to hear coming out of Google and Motorola, right?
Totally.
Yes.
Get a little oomph behind it. We got Drive. We've got Android. We've got Motorola. We're going to make the best phones out there. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's that's exciting.
Pieces, right? It's the hardware. It's Android, the open source layer, and then it's Android, the Google product. Yeah. I mean, we've been wanting this for a long time, right?
Yeah,
totally.
Like the perfect phone, the totally integrated phone. It sounds like this is what they're talking about, or devices, not just phones.
Right.
Now, if only Google can roll out a wireless network, and then we're not dependent on the T-Mobiles and the Verizons of the world.
That would be
wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jim also noted that instead of going with, quote, bigger is better, Motorola will focus on, quote, better is better. Okay.
You gotta love these executive speak, you know?
I know, right?
You know, better is better.
Yeah,
that's a pop shot at the megaphones, right? No, not megaphones, but you know, the phones, the 6.3-inch, what was the crazy size?
I think megaphones is a perfect name for it.
Actually, it really is. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a direct pot shot at Samsung with the Note and the increasing sizes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, basically he said seeking devices that feel better in the hand rather than one-upping the competition spec-wise. He said, that's the easy way out.
Yeah.
New design and branding across all carriers for unified offering, no matter where you look for Motorola devices, which kind of means they won't hopefully be necessarily locked into the Verizon relationship. You know, there are devices outside of Verizon, but they've really had such a close relationship with their devices on Verizon thus far. And for them to unify in a similar way that HTC has done throughout carriers, I mean, that's just the smart way to go.
Yeah, I was saying it sounds very HTC-esque. Mm-hmm. It's reacting to Samsung. It's reacting somewhat to HTC, and it's giving it their own kind of spin.
Yep.
Somewhat interesting. Yeah. I actually did, in the wild, I saw someone driving with a Note as a phone. And I seriously did a double take because it just looked so large on their face. And I was like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that while driving.
So, first.
Yeah. Like, nice megaphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Megaphone. I love that we coined a new term. Any
How
phone,
has that not been done before?
Any sure phone enough. That is over, what, 6 inches? Is that our kind of thing? That is now a megaphone.
There you go. We're definitely going to talk about a few megaphones, by the way, later on in the show.
And
just to wrap this up real quick, the first devices are looking to ship in the second half of 2013. That's a lot of information. We haven't really gotten received a whole lot of information specific, and especially not from somebody who could honestly speak to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Chief of Design at Motorola probably has some credible information there.
You got to wonder now, again, as we do the Google speculation with I/O around the corner, will they tease or show anything or show the future of the handsets?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because this could be priming the pump for the interest in that and getting people ready for that. That's somewhat of an announcement I will not see because I won't be there. So.
Don't worry, there's still hope.
I know.
Totally
bitter. Still hope. Just like there's still hope that Jason's baby will be born.
Jesus.
During this episode.
That made it sound so dire. We've still got hope that this baby's going to get born.
No. During this episode.
During this episode.
The baby will be born.
I really hope, honestly, I hope that it does happen during the show because that would make it even more memorable. So what is this about camera OS?
So Andy Rubin's at this conference in Tokyo this week, and I love that he's still talking about Android. He comes out and says
he's like he just won't give it up. It's like the girlfriend or the boyfriend who just won't give up. They're like, no.
He spent so much of his life with Android.
I love that he's still talking about it. But he came out and said that Android, like the Android OS, started out as a Android started out as a camera operating system. So I don't know if he showed these slides or if he talked about slides from Android's original pitch deck, but this is back in 2004, showed, you know, a camera with a smart OS that had a wired or wireless connection to a home computer that linked to an Android data center, right? This is supposed to be for smart cameras and downloading your photos, but growth in digital cameras was kind of slowing, and they decided to pivot in startup speak. And 5 months later, the pitch was, hey, here's an operating system for open, this is an open source handset solution. Ruben said, we decided digital cameras wasn't actually a big enough market. I was worried about Microsoft and I was worried about Symbian. I wasn't worried about iPhone yet because iPhone hadn't launched.
Yeah.
So I love these stories of really successful software projects, particularly open source ones that at some point made this major pivot or, you know, were different than the thing that they were intended to be in the beginning. So just think we could have had cameras running Android, but we actually do now.
I think it's really interesting given that now cameras run Android and it's come all the way around. And we got a little more in the wake of getting back to the cameras. We got phones and tablets and things like that. But what I'm curious about is what is Andy doing next?
Well, funny you should say that, because I think he opened up his mouth and he said,
I love that he's using his photo.
There we go. He said, I can pretty much guarantee you that whatever I do next is going to be something that delights consumers. Excellent. Now that is perfect
there. That looks really good, actually. That's fantastic.
Actually, if you rotate it around 180 degrees.
Now he's talking to himself.
There you go.
There you go. That's weird how much that lines up.
He's got the same same neck and shoulders.
Exactly. The same no matter what angle you take a picture of Andy Rubin. Yeah.
There you go. So I'm happy we have that on deck.
So whatever he does next is going to be something that delights consumers. So that sounds like he doesn't know what he's doing next. It's like, whatever I do, it's going to be great.
He's really good at playing coy, which I have a feeling he probably is.
He's got some practice.
Yeah.
So, Andy, I miss you. I miss you well. I miss you a lot.
The good thing is he isn't totally gone. We still get to use the What Would Andy Say roll in.
Avatar.
Obviously.
So. Yeah. You should make... Anyway. We got an email. I stopped myself. We got an email. Christopher Lee Woodside wrote in and said, I don't usually or ever write into a show, but I just downloaded the beta Everything.me launcher and it floored me. It works just like in the video and super fast too. This has got to be the biggest thing to come to Android ever. A major game changer.
So I can actually show it because I have it on my phone.
Christopher likes hyperbole.
Yeah, so this is the Everything... what is it, Everything Me or Everything Launcher?
Everything.me launcher.
Okay, so it's obviously a launcher. And the whole thing around this, so let's see if we can try this. See if it'll do it. Maybe not. Come on. Speak to me.
There you go. Oh, you had it.
Okay. Baseball. All right, so baseball, your entire background changes
themes,
and it gives you a bunch of apps related, or actually they're like web apps or sites and everything. But so basically it themes your launcher based on the search or what you're looking for. So then I could go to ESPN MLB and it would load up here and it does that.
So those are search results as icons on your screen, basically? Yeah. All those icons were links to web pages?
Or Ticketmaster, right? Yeah. So then I could go through and, I guess...
So do another one. Do movies.
Let's see. Or how about something specific? Right. The example that Minecraft. They use is... Where is...
Chad.
I know that Ron is firing off all these hard examples.
Chad.
James Bond. Let's see if this... Oh, bad James Bond. I don't know if you're going to get anything on that one. I guess I did. I got something.
It's a James Bond game.
Oh, okay. And there's some 007 in there and everything. Yeah. So it's basically they've created a launcher that really forms around your searching and how you use it. That's the example. Yeah. They did Skyfall. I see. That's
somebody in the chat room said to say Google.
Oh, let's see here.
Or say Android.
Android.
Okay.
Android. Hallelujah.
Pretty cool.
So it must be grabbing like one of the image search results and setting it as your background.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
That's really interesting. Do Minecraft.
And you know, it pulled up Fandroid as one of the sources on the home screen.
Didn't pull up us.
It
would have pulled us.
Did it?
Nope.
Well, it might eventually. anyways, so we'll do Minecraft one last time. Minecraft. My phone just really slow right now. Yeah, okay, got it. Although it is.
Look at that.
Boom.
Yes.
There we go. Pretty cool.
And stuff
but
that's
now Minecraft-y. You've got to be.
Pocket Edition is up there.
Oh, there are the apps. Interesting. Yeah. Cool. So, that's really neat.
Anyways, kind of an interesting take on a launcher. And, you know, it's constantly theming your device based on what you're searching. It kind of brings search to the forefront. They call it the dynamic phone.
That's very cool. Thank you, Christopher, for writing in and telling us about that.
I had heard about this off and on the last couple of weeks and had just been avoiding it because I'm like, I don't want to install launchers and replace the one thing I'm used to these days.
It seems like, you know, on the hardware side, the new big thing is watches, but it also seems like on the software thing, it might be launchers.
Launchers
might be the thing. I think that might be, like, as the design wave makes its way through apps and stuff like that, we're going to see some more kind of, you know, interesting takes on launchers. Fascinating.
Yeah, and more specialized launchers.
Yeah.
Launchers very targeted towards, well, I mean, Facebook Home is the prime example of that, targeted towards the thing that you really want to do with your device, potentially. Anyways, thanks, Christopher, for writing in. Love to get those app kind of reviews and insight from folks like you about what you're installing and find interesting. Let's take a very quick break and thank our sponsor of today's show, Gazelle, gazelle.com. Love Gazelle. It's an awesome way to sell old devices that you might not be using, make way for new ones that might be coming out. Samsung Galaxy S4, for example, or maybe the HTC One. Man, the HTC One is getting a lot of really good press right now. Or really any other Android phone. Before you upgrade, make sure to sell your used smartphone or gadget to Gazelle for cash. You can find out how much you can get at gazelle.com right now. They make it fast and simple. You go to gazelle.com, that's gazelle.com. You find the item that you have, tell Gazelle the condition of that item, get a risk-free offer for your gadgets, and Gazelle locks in that quote for 30 days. You lock it in for 30 days. So even if you're not ready to sell right now, say something is coming around the pipeline, you know, one great way to do this is, Apple or, you know, Samsung or whatever, they have an announcement coming up next week. I'm going to get the quote now for the device because I think I might want to upgrade. Lock that in for 30 days, wait for the announcement, and then if it happens, you can kind of time it out so that you still get that price because device doesn't get more valuable over time. It gets less valuable over time depending on demand and all that.
And that's the worst when you go and look at something and then you go back and it changes.
Yes. Isn't that the worst?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, exactly. So you lock in that quote for 30 days. You'll get paid fast by check, PayPal, or you get an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. Go to gazelle.com now to get an offer for your Samsung, HTC, LG, Motorola, BlackBerry, iPhone, iPad. I mean, they have all the hot phones and tablets right now. Do it today. Your gadgets are just losing value every day, so now would be the time to do that. It's risk-free and offers are good for those 30 days. So, and by the way, Gazelle will actually wipe the data from your device for free. So if you're not, you know, if you don't know how to do it, and sometimes it can be kind of confusing to figure out how. I think now Android's kind of nailed it down. But there were times where I get, phones to review and everything, and I'm like, where's the place that I go to just wipe my data from it? Gazelle would do that for you. They're very trustworthy along that route. So check them out. It's just a great service. What is your iPhone, Samsung, or your Android smartphone worth? Take a minute, go to gazelle.com to find out. Sell your used Samsung Galaxy or iPhone today at gazelle.com. We thank them for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. You guys are great. All right, let's get into some hardware. On the glass beat, we have Gina Trapani.
Apparently, glass, guys, it's totally happening. I'm excited.
Are you?
Are we going to need to spin off of This Week in Glass?
Who knows?
Yeah. Twig. Oh, if only that wasn't already in use.
Yeah. Twiggle.
Twig glass.
Twig glass. Twig glass.
Twig glass.
Google Glass shipping this month. I actually got the email from them saying that they would send an email.
Yeah, I got that too.
My Glass is ready. It didn't say in the email when it'll be ready, but Android reporting that the Explorer edition of Glass, that is, will be shipping this month. And we have specs. The camera will take 5 megapixel images or 720p video. You got 16 gigabytes of storage. 12 gigabytes of that will be usable. That will be synced with Google Cloud storage, which is quite a bit of storage for a small device. That's the same as the base model iPad. It'll be 802.11b and G Wi-Fi, not the faster N.
Interesting. Google
says the display will be the equivalent of a 25-inch HD screen about 8 feet away. I don't know how they calculate. I don't know. I'm just dying to put these things on. I want to see what that looks like. But you're wondering what it looks like. Apparently, 25-inch screen, about 8 feet away. The battery, so Google says one full day of typical use, the battery will last for. But some features like Hangouts and video recording are more battery intensive. And Glass is going to work with any Bluetooth-capable phone. There's a companion app in the Play Store right now called My Glass. This is the My Glass companion app for Glass. That requires Android for 3 ice cream sandwich or higher. And basically, then a My Glass app enables GPS and SMS messaging. The glasses will ship, this is exciting, 2 extra nose pads. Extra nose pad, 2 sizes. Those are the little bits on the glass to fit on you. Supposedly, they're going to fit every face. Google also released the Google Glass API. It's called the Mirror API. So developers can build glassware, which is Google's term for apps that work with glass. The Mirror API looks really cool. I have to say, I was checking it out. It's a pretty simple REST-based OAuth kind of cloud API. You don't actually run your code on Glass. You send messages to the API, which is cloud-based, and then it makes timeline cards appear on Glass. And Google's also outlined their terms of service and their guidelines for Glass apps. One key interesting bit of the terms of service: no ads. Google is forbidding that ads run on Glass. So that's really interesting.
Interesting.
For an advertising company.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. Right? And it sounds like this might be a launch thing. Like, hey, let's just keep it clean, you guys, and like make this a really simple experience. And then we'll talk about how we can actually do ads on here. But very, very interesting out the gate, especially when you have companies like Evernote and New York Times and Twitter all saying that they're building Glass experiences. I mean, those are all companies that make revenue, you know, through advertising.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Android Police did their sort of requisite APK teardown of the My Glass companion app. And everything there that you would think, Bluetooth tethering, Google Voice support, and pushing kind of navigation to Glass. They ran down what kind of permissions you'll need, which you can also see in the Google Play Store. You can download the Play Store app right now, but it doesn't do anything for you unless you have Glass.
Sure. Well, and actually, thanks to SciWizM in the chat room for posting a link, and I put it down at the very bottom of the glass block in the doc just a few seconds ago, Chad, of someone on Google+, Brandon Allgood, who actually received already his glass pack. And so
this
he's got kind of...
Yeah, sweet.
A non-Googler with the glass pack. And if you actually go below that post, there's kind of a breakdown of the box.
Unboxing
of what he received, but...
So, I mean, Gina, in your comment that you made at the beginning of the segment, this is happening.
This is real. It's real. This means that I actually do have to talk to my wife about whether or not I can spend $1,500
right.
on a prototype edition and drive to LA to pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is cool. And, it's becoming painfully obvious that at this year's Google I.O., if you aren't wearing glass, you're not one of the cool kids.
Yeah. This is weird.
Right. Like, you're going to see so many of these walking around Google I.O. You'd be like, oh, I don't
have mine. Definitely. There's going to be a lot of people wearing glass. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk around I.O. doing it. I want to try it out and see how good it is.
Totally. But I'm really curious when you're going over the specs, that 8 foot, 25 inch screen, 8 feet away. And like, I kind of want to get a tape measure and measure what 8 feet away is, because I feel like that's kind of far.
It is the
screen that we're looking at here in the studio. Yeah. Is that 8 feet? It's close,
it's,
right?
It's probably close to 8 feet.
Yeah.
And what size?
But that would be a 32-inch to...
So a little smaller.
36-inch television.
So smaller than that.
People are going to get hurt. People are getting hurt. That's all I know.
People are getting hurt. How do you?
Well, because you're going to have this thing in front of you, and you're going to walk like you're going to.
But it's in the upper right-hand corner of your vision.
Yeah, yeah,
it's sitting on your eyebrow up here.
I'm telling you, this is our society. Who somebody sued McDonald's for a hot cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is, sure. I mean, like, think about what's, you know, I'm not to be the naysayer on this. I'm infinitely curious and I want to try it too, but my hesitance has been, what does the interface look like and what does the display look like? And I won't know until I put it on. So
wait, now I'm curious, do you think people are going to get hurt because they're looking at it and they're distracted and they'll run into a wall
Yep.
There's no textile, there's no, you know, You're not going to actually interact. You're just going to talk to it.
But think about your focus and what you do when you're doing a task. So when you're reading a text message and it's up here and you're walking in Manhattan and you cross into 34th Street,
right?
Like, as you're reading the text message, where is your attention going to be?
However, at the same time, it's one eye.
You're much more likely. Much more likely to fall into a mall fountain if you're looking down at your phone.
True. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And, like, these cultural shifts have happened so many times before. I mean, headphones, you know, like walking around with a Walkman on, right? True. That was, like, a huge cultural shift. People didn't do that before. Yeah. Or walking around, you know, or taking a phone call in public.
Now people never take the headphones off. So
that's right. Yeah. You can't find anybody walking around without headphones, right? Yeah. And, you know, there's some people who still gripe about how we're all, you know, sort of alone together. But that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Although, the Mo in the chat room, or was it the Mo? No, it's Eric Duckman in the chat room makes a good point. Very theft kind of.
They're
theft objects, right? Particularly if they're $1,500 objects and they're on your eyes, I imagine it'd be pretty easy to steal one of those off of somebody's. In the big cities, I mean, even just having a nice phone, just riding the trains here in San Francisco and having like an iPhone or whatever, for the longest time, they've been total targets and very easily snatched from a lot of people. I imagine walking around with something that's so obviously expensive on your eyes is going to be even easier to grab.
There's no better way to scream disposable income. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
totally.
And the first thing that I'm going to do whenever anyone in this office puts it on is I'm going to walk up right next to them and say, okay, glass, pictures of Fabio, and see what happens, because I don't think it has voice recognition to tell the difference.
I don't know. But
why
you're probably right.
Fabio?
Because that is the most PC thing I could think of.
I was like, you could have gone so. Yeah.
He's a griefer. That's why.
Yeah, right. He's a griefer. There he is. Griefer. Yeah, can't trust that Chad.
All right. Well, we were talking a little bit earlier about the megaphones.
Which we coined. We, you know, trademarked all about Android.
Megaphones, something or other is going in the title, I think. And last week, we kind of talked about a rumor that Samsung was going to come out with their mega phones. They're actually called that, Galaxy Mega 5.8 and 6.3 phones. And it is official. Samsung announces those devices larger than, you know, the usual phone sizes that were larger than the usual phone sizes before them, than the tablet sizes that were used.
I like that headline on Android Police about how Samsung continues to conquer every screen size.
In their efforts. I mean, it's true. They really are just trying
to cover all their bases. Yeah, it's
pretty- One of the big things to note here, and Android Police did a good job pointing this out, is the resolution of the screen. So you've got these larger screens, 6.3 has a 1280 by 720 screen. 5.8 gets a 960 by 540 screen. So you're talking larger screens, low resolution. So apparently this is for people who like their phones big, but they also like their icons big.
Listen, I like things big.
Yeah.
Almost, dare I say, mega.
Yeah, I just everything is mega. Having a large screen personally is of no use to me if everything is just larger because the resolution doesn't change. Like, I don't need that.
Then again,
I need more usable space.
Then again, what is the one product you've seen the most over the past 15 to 20 years at like Walgreens or Costco or whatever that's always there, that always they always seem to make them and people buy them? Those remote controls with the big buttons for seniors.
Okay. Oh, all right. No.
Think about that.
But do you, okay, then going along that right. route, do you think
come join my insanity?
Do you think 5.8 or a 6.3 inch phone is targeted to seniors?
Well, with the larger resolution, they can see, they can
resolution
be texting
is
with
about
the
only thing that I could possibly yeah. think maybe, and even there, it's kind of a stretch. I don't know. That is to say that seniors all have bad vision, which they do not.
They do not. No, I know. I'm not lumpy, but let's say a lot of them do. I've seen, okay. you know. My dad struggles with his glasses, and he gets his phone, and he looks at it.
No,
and
it's true. My mom is in town right now, you know, visiting for the happy event, which could happen any day. And in the last
check
week.
Check your phone.
Nope, we're good.
If only that resolution was bigger.
Yeah. Then I would be more like this.
Quite that close.
It should be. And she's gotten to be a pro with the Android tablet.
Oh, really?
But every once in a while, I look over at her on the couch, and she's like, she's got it like really close to her eyes. Yes. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I need to like bring up the font size. So maybe there's something to it, I guess.
I'm onto something, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're onto something.
I hate to how much I hit command plus on Chrome. Like,
yeah?
I have to... Yes, it's really bad. I'm getting old.
I was up late last night debugging some stuff in PHP and whatever, and I have two at home. I've got two, like, 20-inch monitors, like those Dells, uh-huh. and I command plused a couple of times because I was, like, going through line by line, and I'm like, I can't. It's 11:30 at night. I need to be done by midnight. I can't be squinting, so.
Yeah, I have to just get over it, yeah. let my pride rest a little bit.
And, yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did solve the problem, though. So there you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Yay. And just real quick, Galaxy S4 pre-orders now live for AT&T. $199 on a new 2-year contract. $199, pretty much what we expected, right? Maybe a little bit more, actually, because sometimes we've been seeing $250 and $300 on Verizon. But
I expected $199 with that one. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah.
What I was surprised was to see that LG didn't get the memo about hardware March. And they've announced an upcoming event on May 1st in New York City that is titled Share the Genius, and it's inviting people to capture the spotlight in true brilliance. And the speculation is that this is going to be the launch event for the LG Optimus G Pro, LG's new 5.5-inch flagship phone here in the United States. For those who aren't familiar with the LG Optimus G Pro, lots of G's in there and O's. It's got a full HD resolution, quad-core Snapdragon 600 chipset at 1.7 gigahertz, 2 gig of RAM, 32 gig of internal storage, a 13-megapixel full HD camera with 2.1 front-facing camera, and running Android 4.1.2 Jelly Bean. A lot of speculation as to when it's coming, but it seems like this might be it. Although I don't know with that invite, I don't know really what the significance of a microphone and lights and things like that being. I mean, clearly it's the event and they're putting a very pretty, nice photograph there. And with this HD screen, it's probably really going to pop and look really nice. But, so those LG aficionados, we know they're out there. We've discovered there is an LG fan base. May 1st, you're going to want to mark your calendar and stay tuned. But for those of you who aren't LG fanboys, those HTC One fanboys that are on T-Mobile, T-Mobile has confirmed the HTC One launch date of April 24th. So those who have been waiting to find out when they can get the HTC One on T-Mobile, it will be April 24th. Seems that they're sticking with the pricing at $99, which is quite interesting. I know T-Mobile has been nothing but chatty on Twitter recently on the T-Mobile account. They've just been hyping there from the plans to this upcoming, you know, kind of availability. So T-Mobile's really generating a lot of noise around this. So if you're looking for the HTC One, the time is nigh.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they announced it on Twitter, didn't they? It wasn't even a press release. It was like a response to someone.
Yeah. It was on the official at T-Mobile help account where they said what day it was coming out. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's
pro tip LG, don't do a Broadway show theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Exactly. Well, you know, the invite isn't giving us a whole lot of good feelings right off the bat. We're like, oh man, they're going to play it up in some sort of a rock review sort of context, right? What's going on here? I hope they don't just stick to the device. Show us how cool it is. Don't try to entertain.
When I'm buying a phone, I really don't want to capture the spotlight or true brilliance of anything. I just want a phone.
Don't you want to share the genius? Come on.
I don't know. I'm a little skeptical.
Real quick before we get to a video mail, actually. So here we are close to the release of the S4 and the One. Those are obviously the two kind of like going into the ring. If we had an arena bump for those two,
if only there was some sort of graphic that had
that
androids fighting in an arena.
That kind of thing, yeah. You don't need to play. It's
cool. Okay, good, good.
I like to make Chad jump.
Yeah, I'm like, do you want me to?
No, I'm not ready.
It's like, ooh. What do you want me to do? Okay, so shortly after these were announced, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth, but HTC One has really picked up a lot of steam in the press. How do you think the chances are of the HTC One, knowing what we know now? Do you think HTC actually has a chance to do really well with it?
I do, and you know why? What I believe, never underestimate the underdog. HTC One X is now the underdog. Samsung has been nothing. It's been unrelenting in terms of their marketing, in terms of getting the word out. Everybody, when you think of new phones, it's been Samsung. It's been Samsung Galaxy 4. All the hullabaloo about the event, which didn't go very well. Mm-hmm. I think HTC was, they announced their phone before the Galaxy. They've just been hanging out there. They've just been counting the minutes to launch, and I think they're going to have a pretty good showing. That's personally me. I mean, Gina, what do you think?
Yeah, I do think that they have a shot. I want this phone, so I think I might just be sort of...
So you're biased.
I am a little biased. I think they have a shot. I think that Samsung... I think they have a shot at making a dent into Samsung's market haul. We'll see. I'm all for more competition. It's also just a really good... did I mention that I think it's a really good-looking phone?
Yeah, I think it's great. I love the design of it. I love the singular platform, except for the Facebook phone. I love the whole approach that HTC is taking now with 2013 in this phone. I'm really curious by it. I just don't like Sense, so that's why I would jump at it. But then again, I've never used
TouchWiz, you know, in that regard.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, and I don't have a Samsung phone either, but I've never used either in a day-to-day, you know, kind of thing. Sure. But I think I'm biased now. So,
yeah.
But what do you think, Chase?
I'm definitely warming up a little bit more to the potential of the HTC One. I think initially, you know, they've hit some speed bumps on their launch, the launch date, and I thought, oh man, well that right there is not a very good start. But I continue to hear a lot of really, really good things about the HTC One, and quite frankly, their design has always really impressed me. HTC does a great job with designing their devices, and this one just looks like their best yet. So, yeah.
I mean,
I just wonder how that translates to the masses, you know, and the masses know Samsung more than they know HTC,
Can they overcome that? That's the question.
Exactly.
I will give them this. It takes a lot to get me off my butt, but after April 24th, I will stop in the T-Mobile store to go take a look at the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they feel it and get handed. And that's the first time I can say that about any HTC phone since, what was that one that we liked?
The One X?
Not the One X, the one before the One X, the Evo.
Oh, the Evo 4G?
Evo 4G. Yeah. That was the one that I was like, ooh, I want to check that out. And then one of my friends got it and I played with it. But so the One X, I'm very curious about. So I'll check it out.
Oh, the HTC Rhyme, is how it's?
Right, yeah, the Rhyme.
There was the Rhyme, and poof,
the dongle, the lady phone.
That's right.
All right. Wow, blast from the past.
Yeah.
Cool.
We have a video review of an app. It's a little on the longer side. It's around 2 minutes long, but Josh Anderson does a great job of kind of talking about the app. I installed it on my tablet and actually took it for a spin. So, Chad, if you want to play the video review, and then I can kind of show off kind of what I was doing with the app, I think that'll work.
Hey, all about Android. My name is Josh. I wanted to introduce a app to you if you don't already know about it. I picked it up from Android Central or Droid Live, can't remember which one. The app is called The Traveler, made by Frog Baby Apps. I'm stoked about this app just because I'm gearing to head back to Ohio to see some family and friends. This app is beautiful. It allows me to, I've been testing it out just around town and stuff. But it tracks my every move by GPS, integrates it with Google Maps. It's very seamless. I'm allowed to stop the or pause the recording of my adventures anytime I want to. I can also just do a marker. Say I come across a awesome restaurant or a place of interest of any kind. I can do a marker. Put a couple notes in there, even add a picture or a short video. It takes care of all of that. And then Of course, when I get done with my whole trip, I end it. I can export it out to my Google Docs, Fusion Tables, and I think it was a couple different other ones, which Fusion Tables I didn't even know existed, didn't even know what it was until now. But it lays out all my comments, all my stops in that category. Also, just pulls everything together with the map, the Google Maps. Anybody does any kind of remote traveling for business or anything, check this app out. It's awesome. You guys will love it. Let me know what you think.
There you go. Boom.
Cool. It's called The Traveler, and it's just kind of a good way to track kind of your tracks. I just kind of started it and walked outside and ran because I did this like an hour before the show.
During the review, I was like, yeah, he just got up and bolted.
I did this while you were covering the last story, Ron.
No, it's pretty cool.
You could take photos along the way. So then what you saw on the map was that, it like drops a little indicator as far as where on the map you were when you took that photo. And just kind of a good way to log your trip and your travels along with GPS. I feel like I've heard about, different apps that do this kind of thing, but this seems like it's relatively early in the release stage and designed really well. I mean, especially this tablet app interface is actually, I was really kind of impressed with the layout of it.
And yeah, it looks really nice. Good use of panels.
Yeah, exactly. And most of it makes a whole lot of sense on kind of where to go for what things. So, so that's The Traveler. And if you want to send in kind of a review of an app that you're really liking, like Josh did, you can always send us an email at aaa@twit.tv and post a video to your email, and we can put that on the show. I think that's a great idea. I'd say 2 minutes is generally a little on the longer side. I'd
try to keep it a little briefer.
Yeah, keep it a little bit briefer, but honestly, with an app review, sometimes you need a little bit more than our normal request, which is around 30 seconds to a minute at the very most. So, cover it the way you feel, but I'd say 2 minutes would be the absolute upper limit. But I would love to play more of those on the show because it means more apps, and people love apps on this show. So,
yeah, absolutely.
There you go, The Traveler.
Excellent. So time to thank Hulu for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. It's Hulu Plus, in fact. And Hulu Plus offers unlimited instant streaming of current hit TV shows, classic series, and acclaimed movies. It means it's fast and easy ways to get your favorite TV shows and movies whenever you want on whatever device that you might have. We're going to show it off here. I've got Hulu Plus on my Nexus 7 tablet, which I use quite often when I'm at the gym. And Hulu Plus is available not only on mobile phones and on tablets, but it's also available on connected TVs, Blu-ray players, gaming consoles like the PS3 or the Xbox 360, set-top boxes like the Apple TV or Roku, and, of course, tablets and phones. You can continue your viewing experience seamlessly across your devices. So if you start watching on your tablet at the gym and make it halfway through that movie, you press pause, go back home, pop on your connected TV, you can pick up right where you left off. You don't miss a minute of what you're watching. And that's key because that happens to me all the time. I get interrupted and I want to pick up. I don't want to go. I don't have to scrub and find out where I left off and that sort of thing. Hulu Plus gives you access to current season hit shows from networks like Comedy Central, Fox, NBC, ABC, and more. You can watch your favorite shows, like some of my favorites, like Firefly or Community and Modern Family. And they've also got a ton of Saturday Night Live available on the app. What's great is they do all these kind of like curated groupings. So on the homepage, you could actually see if you go back to the home on Hulu Plus, you can see they have a collection of all Vince Vaughn on SNL, which I thought was interesting. Or they have like a collection of Louis C.K. videos. So they're really curating some of the content that they have on there and helping you find some of the best stuff because they do really have everything. So go to HuluPlus.com/twit and you can sign up for Hulu Plus today. At HuluPlus.com/twit, you get a free 2-week trial instead of just the 1 week that they normally offer. Or go to twit.tv and click on the Hulu Plus banner. So be sure to use the URL when you sign up. That's HuluPlus.com/twit. Get your free two weeks free trial and start watching Hulu Plus today on your Android tablet or Android phone.
Boom. I like the app a lot.
Yeah, they've really done a good job on evolving the app and really making it like an optimized tablet experience. And it's really easy to navigate as well. Like I said, when I'm using it at the gym or using it in an environment where you're, the big buttons, I think, really help. Mm-hmm. So they've really gotten that tablet design pretty well. So Hulu Plus, I love it. So.
Awesome.
Thanks for sponsoring this episode. Hey,
thank you for sponsoring All About Android and Twit. We love having you guys on board. And it's just a great great example of well-designed apps for Android. You guys did a great job with that, too. So thank you. Let's get into some more apps.
Speaking of tablets.
Speaking of tablets and speaking of apps, Google is making an update to the developer console that will verify tablet compatibility and actually offer up tablet screenshots to those browsing the app on the Play Store. Developers who verify that they followed the tablet UI guidelines for 7 and 10-inch tablets will actually be given the option to add screenshots for those specific versions. So, for example, you're browsing the Play Store on your Nexus 7. You go to an app that it has some screenshots uploaded for a 7-inch form factor. You'll actually be presented with those screenshots to know how it's going to look on the device that you're actually using right then. I think
which
that's
is great.
Awesome.
That's really good. That's something that I've actually been like, why doesn't it do this?
So, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I love the continuing kind of effort on Google's part to inspire developers to kind of follow the design guidelines and giving them a little, you know, dangling a carrot out and saying, hey, this is one way to get more installs. So good job, Google.
Yeah, they should have done this a lot sooner.
Yeah.
This is I'm filled with shame just looking at this now because I have yet to tablet optimize. It's tough. Like on the 7-inch tablet, you know, that your app doesn't, well, at least my app, which is a super simple just list, it doesn't look too different, right? But it's that 10-inch layout really that requires a lot of the work. And the fact is, you know, the Nexus 7 was, you know, a killer, you know, it sold tons of units. We don't quite have a killer 10-inch Android. I mean, there's a lot of 10-inch Android tablets now, but
sure.
This is, I think, kind of one of the last things that Google had to do to encourage developers to say, hey, look, like your app's going to look a lot better, you know, when you can upload screen size specific screenshots like this. So I think this will really kind of tip over those last few stubborn developers like
Absolutely.
Myself.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's a really good point. It really depends on the app whether it's easy to move it into the tablet realm, and particularly that 10-inch form factor. If you've got a really simple app, it's a lot of space to fill. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you even approach that?
True. Yeah, well, you use that panel UI to kind of, so you'd be able to show a kind of a left side panel that lets you filter the main panel. So if you think about Gmail, which is your inbox is basically a list, right, of just subject lines and conversations, but you can see your labels on the in the panel on the left side when you rotate landscape, right? So that'd
right.
be one way to handle it. I mean, in these examples, screenshots, it's interesting. Like the phone screenshots are just kind of cards. It's this kind of newish, these are just example. It's the newish kind of Google design, the cards, which are a little more text heavy. But then the 7-inch tablet, there are images which fill a little bit more. And then the 10-inch, you have the panels that kind of fill in. So,
sure.
But not every app quite works that way. But this is a good thing. This is a good thing. I'm surprised that they didn't do this sooner, like last IO. But I'm glad to see that them doing it now.
Cool. Well, I hope that leads to better, more optimized tablet apps for sure.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love my tablet apps.
It'll make discovering tablet apps a lot easier for users.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yep.
So the new update to the Chrome beta for Android has a couple of new features. The first one is full screen on phones. This is the Chrome beta, not the Chrome stable. It's got this,
right.
The Chrome icon with a little beta sash on it. Full screen on phones. If you scroll down the page, the toolbar will disappear. But if you swipe back up, it will show. So you can see what URL that you're looking at. It's also got simpler searching. So on the stable Chrome right now, if you do a Google search, your phone Chrome would load the search results with the keyword search that you did in Google's search box. But this new version, this Chrome beta, actually leaves the search terms in the Omni box at the top. I always hated having to like tap into the Google search box and edit your terms. So I'm really glad that it's going to be the Omni box stuck up there. And tab history on tablets. So with the Chrome beta, if you long press on the browser back button, you can view your tab history, which is kind of a nice little new feature. And it's kind of related, but not Android or Chrome specific. Google's rolling out some new features into its mobile search results. If you search for Rotten Tomatoes right now on mobile, you'll get quick links to like the best new movies in theaters right now, all just the new movies. And Google says that many sites will have similar functionality. So Google's really trying to intuit like what are you looking for right now? And it makes sense, right? That if you're searching Rotten Tomatoes on your phone, that you want to know like what movies should I be going to?
Mm-hmm.
And also for some searches, you'll see a blue quick view badge to preview the keyword, the thing you search for. It's Wikipedia page on the subject. So the example that Google gave was if you search for poker hands, for example, the Wikipedia search result, which is the top of the page, has this little blue button that says Quick View. You tap that and it just sort of shows you this preview of the Wikipedia page so you can see that. So Google just, you know, trying to make its search results smarter and faster for people on mobile. And that's what Google wants. They want everyone to search for everything on mobile and make it get them their answers as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and this is like you said, not necessarily using the search app, but actually right. being in a browser and doing the search. Does any of this roll into the results that you get through the app? I guess not at this point, or it's kind of already there through now to a certain degree.
Right. Yeah, I think it's there from the. The search app. You mean the Google Now or the Google Now search box? Yeah, I think those are just that's just a web view into Google's regular search results. So you should get those there as well.
Right. Right.
I believe.
Yeah.
Chat room, correct me if I'm wrong.
Interesting.
Cool. Excellent. All right.
On to the main event.
We've danced around it a little bit. Yes. So how's Facebook Home treating you, Ron?
Facebook Home is quite, it was quite the experience.
You were the guinea pig.
I was the guinea pig, yeah. So when Facebook Home, when it was released last week, we found out, we very quickly clamored to the Google Play Store like everybody did and found out, it's not compatible on every phone. Interesting. And in fact, it's not only is it not compatible on every phone, it's not available for every phone. You can't get your hands on it. But some phones it is compatible on, but you got to go find an APK, and you can't download it from the Google Play Store and that sort of thing. So after a couple of frantic emails amongst the three of us, we deduced and we were able to figure out that me with my little old Nexus 4, I would be able to use Facebook Home if I can get my hands on an APK. And so thanks to Jason, he actually found the links. I was actually out at dinner, and so I said, oh, look what I get home.
And I got was like, no, dinner? And you do it now. And I don't care if you're out.
Exactly. Jason laid down the law. Let me tell you. When he cracks the whip, it's not pretty. But so I raced home, and I downloaded the APK, and I downloaded the APK for both the Facebook Home app as well as the new Facebook Messenger, which all kind of worked hand in tandem. And I said, okay, I'm going to use Facebook Home for, like, it's going to be my launcher for my phone, and I'm going to use it. This was on Saturday that I installed it, I think, or Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sunday morning.
I made it to Sunday afternoon when I was like, all right, enough of this. But not because Facebook Home is flawed inherently, just because the way I use my phone is different. But what I did find, and we'll show off Facebook Home, and we'll go over it, and we'll show everybody how it works if you haven't seen it yet. But ultimately, the net of it is that it got me into Facebook a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to ignore because you open up your phone and you're seeing photos and posts by your friends. And then I'm like, oh, I like that. And like, oh, there are comments. Let me see what the comments are. And all
it's
that
not something
stuff.
You have to think about going to check. It's there.
It's there.
From the moment you turn your screen on.
It's there and it's not obnoxious. Yeah. It's pretty. And it just quietly worked its way into your life. And I found myself every time I look at my phone, kind of just flipping through a couple of things to see the latest posts and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It made me hyper aware of the photography in Facebook as clearly as it does, because I found that when it's scrolling through posts, a lot of, you know, as we know with Instagram and all this other stuff, a lot of people post photos, but some people just post text updates, and it pulls photos from that user's photo galleries and just drops it in behind it. So often you'll get a photo that has no contextual relevance to the text in front of it, but it's just a photo of one of your friends. Mm-hmm. It is I'm trying to find a nice way to put this. It makes using other apps not difficult, but not suggested. Like, right. I get the feeling that really, like, you don't need anything else. You've got, you know, so much so to the fact that making a phone call was incredibly infuriating, which I found really interesting.
Interesting, yes.
And so, yeah, so let me show you guys.
Why would you need to call anyone?
Just
message them.
So here we are. So imagine I just turned my phone on, and what I've got is it's scrolling and showing me photos. And okay, so just a case in point, you're going to see my friends and like people that I know and stuff like that. So just don't, you know, and there's nothing personal here, but let's not go too crazy about that. But so you see this photo. What I found interesting is this is something that somebody posted from Instagram. So it's going in the photo. It's giving me the text along the top. Along the bottom, I got I can like it, or I can look at, I can have a comment, and it tells me how many likes and how many comments there have been there already. If I long tap on the photo, it will zoom out of the Ken Burns effect and show me the photo. And when I let go of it, it pops back and then starts Ken Burns again.
Burns. Burnsening.
So this is a photo post. If I go, this is my friend Jonah's looking for an accountant the day after his taxes were due. Jonah's always on top of these things. In this particular case, it shows me his name and his user profile. It's just pulling a random photo from his photo gallery behind there. It's just a photo of a bunch of dudes. And then the text that's there. I can pull up the comments, and it kind of gives this little expando window, which is interesting. And you know, it's well designed. I'll give them that much credit. I can scroll through all the comments. I can leave my own comment all within this. You know, so it works really nicely. It makes it really easy. I can just swipe this back down, and it goes away. I can like it really easy, and then it changes to a little blue like button.
Did you really like that one?
No. Well, he's funny. You know, but now this is a case where somebody posted one of those long, big text things, and I can scroll up and down on it. So in terms of interacting in Facebook, it is engaging. It pulls you in and has you using Facebook more often. Now using the phone is another story. You'll notice that there's no other than the buttons along the bottom, which you almost forget about. By default, it hides the status bar. Mm-hmm. All right. If I swipe down, I get it again. But it, you know, as soon as I do anything else, it goes away. If I tap on the thing, I get my little – that's my mug, my face, my
your
icon.
Chat head.
And my chat head, which I don't like that term. Anyway. But if I tap on my chat head, it expands out. And what I get is I can pull to the left to go to Messenger. So it's going to drop me right into Messenger. If I go up, it will go to apps. And if I go right, it will go to, this took me forever to figure out, but this one on the right is the last app you used.
Oh.
So if you were on the phone, it would be the phone. In this particular case, it was launcher. So I'm going to go up to apps and I'm going to go to, I'm going to go to the phone actually. Okay. Don't look at phone numbers. So I will go to the, no. Oh my God. Now I'm calling somebody. No,
okay. Right. We have it off. Chat's on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'm on the phone. Here you go. So I'm on the phone. So now if I go back here, you'll see when I tap on that, it's contacts because that was the last app I used.
I see.
All right. When I go up into the app section, now up here you've got immediate quick links to post a status, to post a photo, or to check in. So this is all Facebook. But then this was the default view. And if you zoom in and look at my apps – it took me forever to try to understand what order it was putting my apps in. In this particular case, it's Visual Voicemail, then Square Wallet, then Google Wallet, then Gmail, then Instagram. I was like, this is an alphabetical order. And I was trying to figure out. It took my home screens and collapsed and it expanded out my folders and just spit out the icons in a row. Now, you can move them around, but it was just weird how it just decided to just – it took my home screen and imported it like a blind import. If I swipe on the left, I can see all the ones that I had on my home screen previously. But if I go all the way to the left, I get all the apps and I can access all the applications. It made it so when you've got your phone, and I'm like, I got to make a phone call. I had to go chat head, apps, find the phone icon and dial as opposed to just using the phone.
So can you dial from Messenger?
Wow.
That's a good question. I didn't try. Let's find out.
I'm not well.
Because I kind of feel like this is a little bit of a ploy for Facebook to get more phone numbers. Not a ploy,
You cannot call from Messenger.
Yeah, I didn't.
Nope.
Okay.
Messenger, and so that's one thing to note. Messenger collapses your it takes over your Messenger application, so it merges all your SMS messages in with your Facebook messages, which I found incredibly annoying. But that's just me because I don't really use Facebook that much. So after playing with it a little while, I'm like, all right, this is kind of frustrating. I dove into the settings and I was able to find that, so in the Facebook settings and chat, you can pull this up. You can see, it's kind of hard to see in the text, but, so the first one is just turn off Facebook Home, just turn it off, which I thought was funny. Like they know that's what everyone's looking for.
That's the first option.
Yeah. Isn't that hysterical? Right. And then the second one is show status bar. So my problem with showing the status bar can get corrected by just changing that to default. See home when screen turns on. This is something that I turned off as well. It was set to default so that when you turn on the screen, it goes right to Facebook Home. I found a big frustration I had is the way Facebook Home interacted with the inherent security on the phone. So I have a lock code on my phone so nobody can't get into my phone. When you use Facebook Home with the setting turned on, when you turn the phone on, it goes to Facebook Home first. you can interact in Facebook Home, and then the moment you try to do anything outside of Facebook Home, you get your lock screen. And so that was just incredibly annoying. It was just incredibly annoying. And I found myself, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll turn off the lock screen, which is not the point of the lock screen. Like, the lock screen should be on top of Facebook Home. So I turn, you know, so you want to turn that off. So when home screen turns on, when screen turns on, you want to turn that off. And then there's a bunch of messenger settings and then your Facebook settings and notifications and the kind of standard stuff like that. So all in all, it's really pretty. It does the job of pulling you into Facebook. It works very nicely in that regard. It really doesn't want you going to do anything else. That's my takeaway from it.
Interesting.
So that was my weekend with Facebook Home.
Yeah. You know, if you go to the Play Store, site or page for Facebook Home and you look at the reviews, they are not pretty. You know, everybody's definitely the highest numbered star voted is one star, which I think is a little critical.
I think that's just haters. Haters are going to hate.
And you know? It's kind of unfortunate because in a certain way, this app does exactly what it promises to do,
yeah.
Right? It's only for the people that truly want to take over their entire experience and involve it completely in Facebook. And actually, from a design perspective, looks like they did a pretty dang good job.
Yeah, and I unfortunately, I haven't been very active on Facebook, so you can't really see recent activity. But when people comment or like your photos, you get a little kind of white box that comes up mm-hmm. on top of everything that you can left and right swipe to get rid of. So it's a nice way of showing you the notifications. One thing I noticed in one of those reviews that we just showed in the Google Play Store, and then I forgot to mention, forget widgets.
Oh, yeah.
They're just out the window. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because essentially this is just a launcher widget that you're living on top of everything. If I was a Facebook fanatic, I would probably be all over this. But I don't use Facebook enough, or I'm not as much. I use other stuff that makes me want to break out of Facebook. So, yeah.
Well, weird. How was Chatheads?
Sorry?
How was Chatheads? Like, did you chat with anyone?
No, I didn't, because I will admit that I did not use Chatheads because I have chat inherently turned off because I just, no.
I did actually, because they actually rolled Chatheads into the Facebook Messenger app as well.
Right.
So I wasn't able to install Facebook Home, but I did install Facebook Messenger. I've never installed that on my device, but I was like, well, this is one way for me to check out part of it. And I got to say, the Chatheads thing is pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Having that little head kind of pop, you know, that avatar that you can place anywhere on the screen, and the way that it kind of coexists with everything and sits on top of everything that's behind it is kind of nifty. And actually, I'm going to keep Facebook Messenger on there because I found it to be really useful.
Oh, cool.
In the limited chatting that I do on Facebook. You know, I might end up using it just a little bit more now that I have it installed.
So what I think is most interesting about this is that it is promising for the future of Facebook Android development, which is the thing that we've discussed.
Yeah.
Which is now if they apply what they've done with Home and with Chatheads to the Facebook app, we can have something pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But no, but I'm not giving it a bad review. I'm not saying Facebook Home is bad. It's just it's very specific to that Facebook user.
Yep. So. Yep. Absolutely. Quick thanks to Wade County in chat, who posted a link to an Android Police article about using Facebook Home alongside your other launcher. So essentially, the point here being Facebook Home is too all-encompassing and intrusive for me, but I really like the opening screen. I want to use my own home launcher, but I want the opening screen to be Facebook Home. There is a way to do that. This walkthrough kind of gives you insight into how to do that and keep Facebook Home as kind of the thing you see when you turn on the
screen. It's that setting that I talked about, which is see home when screen turns on.
Right, and have your default launcher actually set to whatever else you want it to.
Exactly.
Then you get the best of both worlds. Yeah.
So that was Facebook Home. It's available in the Google Play Store if you've got the right phone. There are ways around it. I think if you go to a bunch of sites, Android Police and Talk Android, stuff like that, had direct links to the APK and instructions how to install it if you're curious about it.
Cool.
But I turned it off. So.
Yeah.
I really want like Facebook Vacation House, you know, like something that's sort of between like a home, but they're really crappy widget, like a place that I could go when I want to go, but maybe isn't like there all the time, like keeping me from doing other stuff.
Facebook Tahoe. Yeah,
like. Facebook apartment.
Yeah, Facebook apartment.
Facebook city apartment.
Yeah. Right.
apartment in the city. Yeah. I like it.
Facebook Motel.
I suppose that would be the app. Unfortunately, you don't want to live there.
Facebook Motel.
Yeah, Facebook Motel. Oh, much man. Better. Much better.
Oh, that's an episode title possibility.
Yeah. Never come out.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Facebook Motel. Motel or
Motel? Motel, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah. All right, Gina. An email from a developer, I guess.
We did. We got an email from Andreas Love Selvik. Andreas, I apologize if I didn't pronounce your name correctly. Andreas writes, after a long part-time development phase as a student, I'm finally able to release my game. The game features a cute creature called a snabbit, which is hungry for stars. You can control it through short puzzle levels of increasing difficulty. So, Jason, I think you've got snabbit set up on your tablet.
So you just
kind
of boop. And you,
Snabbit's adorable. This is very snake-like, actually.
It's very snake-like, yeah.
Okay, I didn't do very well there. But basically, as you run into the walls, your snake gets a little bit smaller, right? But you want to collect all the stars.
Oh, you want to go through the maze.
See?
Yeah,
shorter, I see. Yeah, yeah, this is very snake-like. And really well-designed. I mean, the graphics are great. Snabbit's very cute.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, and there is a paid version that you can get through the app itself. Or you can get this ad-free, you know, the ad version, which is the free version.
Which isn't that bad. It's not that intrusive.
No, it's just kind of up
to And I've been wanting to start my culinary journey.
Well, there you go. See, this is perfectly timed. I'm really bad.
It is hard to play a game on the angle. I'll give you that credit.
Totally. Yeah.
Here's someone who's better at the game.
Yeah, there you go. Snabbit. So, you know, we have a lot of developers that are developing cool apps that watch the show and everything, and we get a lot of emails from them, and it just kind of makes sense. Like, we should just kind of, you know, cover their apps in the email section every once in a while.
I would love to see some of the apps and games that the folks in the All About Android community are making. I mean, that's really cool. That's like, you
know. Absolutely.
So now we're about to get a ton of emails. But anyways, if you're working
fine.
On
bring
something.
Yeah, bring it on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not my email.
You're like, yeah, Jason. Yeah. Jason goes through the email. It's
email
cool.
him.
we'll take a look at the games and apps that we receive. And as, you know, things look cool and everything, we'll go ahead and throw it in the email portion and try and show it off a bit. So there you go. Andreas, thank you for sending that in. Again, the name of that game is Snabbit, S-N-A-B-B-I-T. Check it out. All right, let's waste no more further time. Let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena. Yeah, y'all.
Boom. All right, so are you raising your hands in victory? Gina, I haven't checked yet.
I
You are.
Well done.
Oh, by two votes. Two votes.
Again, down
by
to the
two
wire.
Votes.
Wow.
Excellent
nice.
Job.
I was on a pretty bad losing streak there for a while.
Thank you, Chad. Yes. How did we do in India? Again.
Well, it's only five votes.
Only five votes.
I couldn't believe that.
Whoever that one person in India who voted for Rayman Jungle Run, I will find you.
Thank you, India. I'm going to get you back one vote at a time. It's cool.
I love the comments. I love Ian Sweeney. Poor show on the old apps this week, guys.
Oh.
Thanks, Ian.
Oh. Well, thanks, Ian. but anyways, Gina, you win. Snake Payback gets 39% of the vote with 146 votes. Rayman Jungle Run, close, 39% also, but with 144. And third is Weather Travel Fashion at 22% of the votes. By the way, developer of that app, you were talking with Justin Robert Young about that on last week's episode.
You were, yes.
Developer, super stoked.
Oh, was he?
I'm sorry.
Didn't tell. Nice. I'm sorry. Didn't win. Please pass that along, Justin.
I don't think that weather, travel, fashion quite fits the demo.
Of this, viewership. He doesn't think exactly. that WTF
but
fits the demo.
There are five people in
viewership.
India who love it, who now know how to dress.
Yes, exactly.
Huge in Mumbai. Android right. millionaire.
Excellent. Well, then, Gina, you are going to go last because you are the big winner.
Do I go first?
You go
the big
first.
Loser?
Yep,
all right.
Big
so
loser.
I've been on a bit of a kick for file managers. I know it's a, hey, thrilling.
It's an essential
thing. It's an essential thing, and it's a thrilling category. But I found an app, and I just found it just this morning, and so I played with it a little bit. It was enough. I actually changed the app I had in the document because I was like, oh, I got to do this one. Because once I found it, I thought it was so cool. This is called File Expert HD, and what I look for in a file manager is a combination of a good UI and good functionality. There are tons of file managers that have a lot of functionality that just don't look good. The older design style. I've yet to find a good file manager that is completely hollow-ized, you know, like that is all Jelly Bean. But File Expert HD is tablet-oriented, and it looks just looks really nice. It looks they put a lot of time into the design. So here is the main kind of view of it. And what you've got here is you've got kind of three tabs along the top. You've got My Files, you got Folders, and then you got Top Apps. Under My Files, you have a series of folders here. You can go to My Files, Folders, and My Tools. You can expand out. You can scroll up and down. It gives these nice little icons so you can see your photo gallery, videos, music, ebooks, documents, apps. They do a really good job of making it really kind of user-friendly. I get this great kind of analysis of the memory along the bottom of how much I have free. It's telling me how much of my space is being taken up by images or videos or music. So if I go into videos, I could see, you know, I can go. And what's really interesting is that this is somewhat network related. So it breaks out both also local video as well as also YouTube. So if I go to YouTube, it will load up all the basically an interface into YouTube, and you can search within YouTube. So it's not necessarily on your device, but it is a way to access different files. And local video, I can see, you know, whatever video files I have on my device itself. I can take a look at APK files, and it's going to search through whatever uninstalled APKs I have. I have the old beta of SwiftKey there. I can look at the apps I've got installed, and it can give me a whole rundown of all the apps. You can change the different views. You know, I can change to more of a icon view. It'll give me this kind of thing, and I can change to a stacked list view. If you swipe to the left and right, it swipes amongst the tabs up top, so that's pretty neat. And what's great is that it just gives me that direct access to the straight-up file structure of my device. Which is always what I'm looking for. You know, if I've moved something over via, you know, the USB cable and APK, I want to find it really easily. If I moved over a PDF, I want to be able to open it really easily. Sometimes I'll be on the road and at work, I'll download a zip file and I need to unzip it really easily. But where File Expert HD really shines, and I'm actually going to refer to the Google Play Store page, because I don't want to miss anything. But basically what it's got is you can share files via Wi-Fi, you can share files via FTP, you can manage files via NFC and direct Wi-Fi. There's DLNA sharing. So basically any way that you can access files in and out of your tablet, File Expert HD enables you to. So you can, you know, FTP into your tablet and move files over. You can stream media from the tablet to your screen as a DLNA server. The NFC and Wi-Fi direct enable phones. Transferring of apps is really cool. All you got to do is just kind of long tap on an application within the interface, and it gives you a whole bunch of options. So it's really, really powerful, and it's the kind of thing where it's so powerful, but it seems so, like, it seems somewhat, you know, like it's friendly, you know, like it's not as daunting. So in this particular case, I can long tap, and I get a bunch. I can copy, I can cut, I can paste, I can delete, I can zip up a bunch of files. I can send via QuickSend, play via DLNA. I can, you know, move. You can move into cloud storage. They've got SafeBox support. And basically, it's really smart about what each file is. So in this particular case, it was a JPEG, so it's saying set as wallpaper. So it's just a really, really smart app that gives you a ton of control over the various files that you have on both on your tablet and files outside of your tablet. It really becomes a kind of all-in-one kind of solution, and it's totally free, which is totally awesome. So File Expert HD, really, really powerful Android 4.0 plus file manager. So
awesome.
Installed.
Yep. Nice. Win.
Just click the blue button.
What did you use before? I'm curious.
I kind of stayed away from file managers because I was like, you know, I just kind of want to, like, you know, maybe, like, that's an old school way of looking at, do I really need to manage files? If I do, am I doing something wrong? I've had this kind of weird thing about file managers. Like, I don't know if I want to be the kind of user. I really go back and forth between kind of like the power user and then the, like, well, let me try and, like, act like a normal person.
See, but the thing is that I think that there are, because so for me, a common use case for how I use my tablet is that I will, as I've talked before, I take my tablet to the gym and I watch things there, and I have videos that are totally mine and totally legally obtained that I want to watch on the tablet. And so the standard use case now has been to hook the tablet up via the USB cable and use the Android file transfer app and drag and drop, but the Android file transfer app is just a file manager. Mm-hmm. It's just viewing it on your PC. Now I can turn on Wi-Fi and the device can be all the way over there, and I can be on my desktop and just say, move this file over via Wi-Fi, and it works.
Cool.
Nice. I could, if I've got video or music and I go over your house, I'm like, oh, I want to play this song. I can just connect to your TV via DLNA,
mm-hmm.
and assuming you've got the setup on your end, which you
right,
do
because right,
you're
right.
You know you are who you are. And it just gives you more kind of things. So you're right. A standard, you know, novice user shouldn't have to use a file manager, but there are instances where you want it. And when you want it, I think it's best to have it installed and one that works really well.
Right.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So File Expert HD.
Expert HD. Excellent. Mine just kind of caught my attention a couple of days ago, and I just thought it was hilarious. And I was like, well, that will make an interesting arena. So this could go in either direction. I'm warning you, there could be some craziness that goes down. My app is called Rando, and it's a photo sharing app.
Oh, geez.
I don't want to say.
Is it like the S
word? I don't
want
to say chat roulette. I'm not going to say
Snapchat.
It. No, it's not. Well, I guess it's kind of like Snapchat, except you have absolutely no idea who you're sharing a photo with.
So it is like chat roulette.
It's like Snapchat roulette.
Yeah, Snapchat roulette. Sure.
Let's play with Rando.
All right. So far, I have to say, so far, no naughty bits. Thankfully, I have not received anything out of the ordinary, which. It's kind of crazy.
Shocking.
But the reviews that I've read about this as well have also said, like, that just isn't on there. I suppose it's a matter of time.
Well, yeah,
I hope not.
I'm literally opening up the Play Store to see how many installs there have been, because I'll tell you if it's gotten to critical mass or not. 10,000 to 50,000. Yeah. So yeah. It's not
critical mass. Yeah. So if you're going to do this, probably now's the time because it's about to get.
Let's play some Rando.
About to get crazy.
It's not
okay.
Like Rando, like Randy. It's like not that. Okay.
like random. So I'll show you some random. There's a quality image from Rando that I received from somebody after sending an image.
Now, do you know who they are?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
But what you can do...
This is so voyeuristic.
Maybe I will do it with her. But, so if I got that, I tap it, and it shows me on a map where it came from. That came from Ireland.
Oh.
That's cool.
So this came from... Let's see here. Sender did not allow location access, so you can confuse it. Okay, so here's how it works. I'll go ahead and hit the red. You do not receive anything unless you send something. So basically, as you send more pictures, you build up a queue of things that you'll receive from other people. So I've got it. I've got a picture. I'll just go ahead
no,
and snap
no,
it.
No. Oh, not no, me.
Yeah, that's
I'm Rando.
True.
Yeah.
How about your shirt?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll take a picture of your shirt. Hold on. Boom.
I like Ron's face being all
I know. I didn't even think
Rando.
About that. I was like,
I don't want it. Yeah,
maybe not. Okay, so I have it on there.
I'm glad thousands of people right now, but don't put me on Rando.
I don't want my face ending up on your damn app. Who knows what's going to happen?
Listen, I live a very private life. I just would prefer to keep my visage.
All right, so Chad, if you show the screen, there we go. We have Ron's awesome Love and Rockets shirt. I'll send it. It'll send. And boom, when it's done, that little gray dot, you can kind of hardly see it here, but that gray dot up there means that's something that I've sent that I haven't received anything from. Now, I've gone ahead earlier today and sent off a bunch, so I have a few in queue to check. Each of those red dots...
Oh, those represent a photo.
...represent a photo that I've been sent that I haven't looked at yet. You guys want to see?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Let's get Rando.
This could get interesting. So you pull to load, and it loads your next one. Let's see what it is.
Oh,
okay. Oh, a Batman face?
It's a Spider-Man.
Sorry, dude. thankfully, Ron is here to slap me upside the head.
There you go.
I'll pull again. What do we have?
It would be great for the Batman.
Huh? We have 13 prints. Oh, it's an ad. Someone, so yeah, okay, there we go.
15 pounds.
So far, I will say, by the way, it's been very dull what I've found through this app.
It's not like Snapchat in that nothing gets deleted, right? So you got your queue of images that you have sent and received. And
is this big in, yeah, it looks like, is it big in the UK? I feel like it's a lot of UK stuff.
Let's see what we got here. This was from, let's see what the location is on here. UK, yeah. This picture of Superman, that was intentional.
Nice. Well done.
Is in Venezuela.
Yeah, it's a British app. It's a British app. It's
there you go. Okay, let's see what else we have. We have three more. It's exciting for the...
This is bold, Jason.
I know it is.
Oh, I love it.
That's why I thought it would be a lot of fun. From Spain, I got that interesting picture. We'll go ahead and load. I have two more left here. What's the next one? It is... Oh, ooh, driving.
Someone driving on the M5.
That's daring. Randoing while driving.
I don't know, it's here. It's on the M5. That's in Georgia.
Is location the only personally identifiable information you can share?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
So you can't chat with the person. You can't be like, hey, nice picture.
It's nothing. All it is just sending around a picture to somebody.
Okay.
There you go.
This is hysterical.
Yeah. So there you go. This is out in an island outside of Western Sahara.
Go to their website. I put the link in the chat room, in the chat thing. If you scroll down, right, the last sentence, no likes, no comments, no direct communication, just rando.
Exactly.
Wow.
There you go. That is it. I really wish that I would receive one live while we're doing the show. Maybe by the end it'll come back and I'll show you the last one, the payback for the picture that I took of your shirt. But anyways, I think that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Is that it's completely random and there's no commitment, no nothing. It's just purely send around a photo out there. Somebody gets it. Now, mind you, the photos aren't that amazing and you can do nothing with a little circular photo after you receive it. It's purely just looking at it and going, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, they're in Australia. Okay.
That's awesome.
That's about it.
So, I like it. I dig it. I think it's got good design. It's interesting. I'm a fan of this one.
Yeah, there you go.
The design is interesting.
Yeah.
Rando, and I'll let you know if this turns into a red dot and we can see it before the end of the show. There you go. Gina, what do you have? And I think I have it installed on my phone. I do. So I'll show
excellent.
It off.
Excellent. 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 My pick this week is Looper. It's Looper. So you guys have probably been in this situation. I do this all the time. I do this more than I like to admit, but you know, I'll be at a conference or in a meeting or I'll meet somebody and we'll talk about a thing. And then I'll be like, oh, hey, you know, I want to show you this thing. I'll email you about it. Or like, I'll give you a call or I'll drop you a text message. And then I just don't write it down or I just forget, or I don't put down their contact details, or I take their contact details, but then I don't ever contact them. Looper is pretty really, really simple app. The whole point is to remind you to get in touch with someone when you say you're going to get in touch with them. So normally I would like put an event on my calendar and be like, email Ron about that thing. But that's kind of a pain. It takes more work. And what Looper does is it lets you set that reminder, but then also say, I want to contact this person using this method, using either, you know, phone or SMS or email, and then kind of gives you a direct link to that. So Jason's got it up right now. So the first thing you do is you choose, you know, when do you want to contact this person? This is particularly good for like people that you want to contact on a regular basis. Like, I want to call my mom at least once a week or once a month. So you choose how often you want to contact the person, and then you choose a contact. This integrates with your contacts, so all your contacts are in there already. And you'll see the last time you talk to this person, the next time you want to talk to them, and then you get to specify the contact method, either voice call, SMS, or email, and you tap save. So you've saved this little reminder. On the date that you're supposed to contact this person, just a little notification shows up in your shade, in your Android shade, that says, hey, don't forget to email Ron. You tap that, and then it launches a compose window, if it's email or an SMS, with it pre-filled in with the contact's information, or, you know, launches the dialer and makes the call kind of for you. So it's just an easy, easy way to get the reminder, hey, you're supposed to talk to this person, and just launch it and do it directly from your phone. This is a really, really simple app. I have to say, the design is kind of cool. cool. It's colorful, but it's not the most modern Android design you'll ever see. There are definitely features that I wish it had. Like, I wish that I could pre-draft the email, for example. Like, oh, hey, Ron, I meant you to send this thing. It's launched now. Here it is. You can't quite do that yet. But I do like the idea of, oh, hey, I need to contact this person, and I don't have to go through all the steps of getting the calendar reminder and then going to the dialer and looking up the number. Looper kind of does that, all that for you. So basically, it just helps you keep in touch or fulfill those promises when you tell somebody you're going to drop them an email after you meet them, like at a conference at Google I.O. or I'm definitely going to use this at I.O.
Perfect for I.O. Perfect for a conference.
Yeah, perfect for I.O. Yeah, or even just family members. Like, oh, hey, email, you know, Aunt Betty a picture of the baby, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's Looper. It's 99 cents. And like I said, super simple, but really good if you're like me and you forget to get in contact with someone who you say that you will get in contact with them.
Excellent. Cool. I like it. I actually like the interface, the UI of it.
The primary colors, the big fonts.
It's big. Yeah. It's big fonts, simple. Yeah.
Now, if only this was on a 6-inch device with a big resolution.
Yeah,
Then you'd be even better.
Then it would be really big.
Then you'd never forget to call me.
The date picker is kind of like the old school Android. Like, it's not using Roboto, and it's compatible with really early Android from like 2.2 and up, which is great. So it's going to work on any phone. So it has a little bit of an old school look to it. It's not hollow, but it totally works. And yeah, and I do like that the primary UI is primary colors and just big buttons. It's very clear what to do.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but I only ever want to talk to Alex Gumpel once a year. So I put a reminder to get in touch with Alex in a year.
I don't know say, remind me once a year. I don't know. Maybe on someone's birthday.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. I'm just kidding, Alex. I love you. Okay, so little check here. Rando, I did get a notification. You'll see here, actually. There's a notification that says, Rando, you have received a new Rando. This could be the one that cancels the show forever. Are you ready? Here we go. Pull it down. And...
there go our sponsors.
Act like it's really bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, it actually is really bad.
It's yikes.
It's just too dark. Yeah.
We'll have to issue an apology to all of our sponsors.
Oh, no. So sorry. Those of you on the audio podcast, you're going to have to download the video version and watch it to see what we just saw.
I'm kind of super jealous that you found Rando and I didn't.
Well, there you go.
I really am. That's one of my crazy apps. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
I took a page from your book, Ron.
I tweeted
I stole it from your book.
I just tweeted it. Yeah, he literally stole it from my book. I tweeted that it's Instagram meets chat roulette meets Snapchat.
There you go. That's a great way to put it. So we're trying something a little different this week. We talked last week about the polls getting a little strange, and they could continue to be strange, but we're going to try it in a new way. Although the URL for the poll has not changed. 888poll.com/105 is where you go to vote on this week's. Is that taking everybody to the right place? It is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For me, it was taking me to a different place. Strawpoll.me is where we're doing this week's poll, and we're going to see how it goes. Vote for your favorite. We already have some votes kind of coming in.
Rando, so
kind
of there
see,
it is.
Yeah. I have a feeling this is going to be kind of a close
vote. Rando's going to run away with it.
Oh, no. It's got a runaway vote going on.
Yeah, this is interesting. Okay. Well, I guess we'll see next week. I may or may not even be here to celebrate my victory if I do, in fact,
win. File Expert HD is definitely going to win.
There you go. Awesome. I hope this new polling method works.
Yeah, we'll see.
Please help us in enabling it.
Help us help you.
Yes, exactly.
And goodbye, India. It's been fun.
Well, no, they'll still be there. You just won't know.
They'll still be there. They'll just be anonymous.
We'll have no idea who.
Until they launch a DDoS on straw polls, and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. We need more excitement on the show.
Yep.
That is it for this week. Excellent stuff, folks.
Fun times.
Yes.
Well, I know what I'm doing this week. I'm going to be playing with Rando all week, but you can go find me over at about.me/RonXO. You can find links to my Twitter, my Facebook, Google+, all that fun stuff, as well as you can find links to my day job at Image Comics, where you can read some of the finest comic books out there in the world. So check it all out.
Excellent. How about you, Gina?
You can see all the stuff I'm up to at my personal site, ginatrapani.org. I co-host This Week in Google here on the Twit Network. It airs on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, so you should come join me and Jeff Jarvis and Leo Laporte tomorrow on This Week in Google. And check out my app. It's called ThinkUp, thinkup.com. It's a social media insights engine. You should sign up for our waiting list. We're rolling out a hosted service soon, so get your Twitter account on there if you can.
Excellent. Excellent. How about you, Chad? Is there something that you're doing these days?
Oh, my gosh. So you can go to omgchad.com for all the social stuff. But our first episode of This Week in YouTube, the new YouTube show that Twit is doing, is now available. So head on over to twit.tv/YT to check out This Week in YouTube with Lamar Wilson and Leo Laporte. And then, of course, 3 weeks ago, we did OMG Craft, the first season, so or the first episode. So head on over to twit.tv/OMGCraft as well to see me do that.
Excellent. This Week in YouTube has a really great vibe to it. I really like it.
It is cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is really neat.
Awesome. Liking it. Congrats on the launch. I love Lamar. I haven't gotten to watch yet, but I'm excited. I gotta catch up. Episode zero.
Yeah, so episode zero and one. Yeah, so we pre-filled the RSS feed with episode zero. But yeah, episode one, the actual episode, is now out, and it is hilarious.
Yeah, it was really good.
Cool.
Awesome. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my musical escapades, whatever you want to call it, at yellowgoldmusic.com. I think the album is probably going to release when I get back from paternity leave. That's what I'm shooting for. So possibly some news there. But that's it for this week for the show. Thanks so much for watching, listening, however you choose to get the show. You can always leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Love those voicemails. Also love getting video mails and emails. Send that to us at AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We're in Google Plus. We're heavily involved in the community there on Google Plus. I highly recommend that you check it out. Show notes for the show can be found at twit.tv/AAA, as well as all of our past episodes there, iTunes, YouTube, all over the internets. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye! Bye, Chad.
Bye. Why am I leaving?
Chad doesn't know that this is his last episode.
Ooh. We need to talk.